So I suppose that we did explain to the listener, dear listener, that you're now in foreign parts, as it were.
I don't think it's going to affect the recording, the fact that I am currently in Sverige, which is Sverige. What you say in Sweden. Sverige.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Right. I just thought you spoke like everything, but did it like the Swedish chef.
I've got a friend. He keeps sending me the Swedish chef gifts just to make me laugh whilst I'm teaching.
Jolly good.
It's incredibly racist, in fact.
The Muppets! The Muppets! But they love the world! The Muppets are not racist! Good Lord, no. Hurdy-gurdy. Anyway, no. Yes. I was defeated, you won the war. So anyway, yes, Sweden! Sweden!
Yes, I'm here until mid-December. So,
oh dear Lord, so we'll have to do another one of these. And yeah, like I say, instead of sitting there on the piazza or whatever the equivalent is with your long beer, you're talking to me from a grubby hotel room, so that's lovely.
It's not a grubby hotel room.
Oh, is it not?
I have a Swish apartment.
All right. Is it better?
It's okay.
It's probably
Swish. Let's not get carried away.
It's probably Swisher than my entire house, so there we are. That's probably not.
No, I doubt it.
You'd be surprised. But... anyway,
I am in Elfwa.
Ah,
it's impossible to pronounce any Swedish words, I've discovered. This is spelled Alvsjo, and you pronounce it Elfwa.
Oh, right.
Can you believe? So it's all like that, and then they expect you to be able to speak Swedish, and then are surprised when you can't.
Yes,
I mean I can do good morgon, välkommen, tack för att du kom idag, but after that, that's it. Yes. I'm done.
Where's the beer? Where's the coffee? Where's the sandwich? And that's about the limit of my certainly the limit of my French.
Usually, I'm asking where's the projector, or saying this wall isn't big enough to put post-its on it.
All right.
Anyway,
enough of this professional talk. Believe it or not, professional talk. We need to go back into the world of Flash. World of Flash. Do you remember where we were in the world of Flash?
It feels like a very long time ago, but
it was a very long time ago.
It's but a week for the dear listeners.
Well, yes,
but a week.
Yes, we should start the show.
Yes, let's start the show. It's time to play the music.
And I'm not doing the Swedish chef again.
Early. You made me do it now. I was resisting. Okay, let's go for it.
Deciding that a podcast looking into the science fiction serials that featured in cinemas in the 1930s and beyond was long overdue, Andy and Martin set about rectifying this omission. Having completed the 1936 13-part serial entitled Flash Gordon, made by Universal Pictures and based upon the cartoon strip of the same name created by Alex Raymond, and all 15 chapters of 1938's Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars, we now present our running commentary series for the final 12-part serial from 1940, Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe. Hello, and welcome to Space Soldiers, a commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes. Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, Chapter 7, The Land of the Dead.
Hello and welcome back to Space Soldiers!
Space Soldiers!
A Flash Gordon commentary podcast with me, Andy.
And me, Martin. You notice I had to shout then because you're such a long way away.
Yeah, is that how it works?
I believe so. Yes. No. So, somewhere in the mists of time, last Saturday, we were recording Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe. And I'll tell you what struck me is I keep forgetting the titles of the episodes. And you know why that is? Do you know why that is?
No.
It's because in Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, they don't actually put the episode titles at the beginning of the chapter. So I think I referred to one on one of the previous episodes as it was either the Tunnel of Terror or whatever, and it's not that, but it doesn't matter. I just got the name wrong. But yes, so I've been feeling terrible about that for a week. Meanwhile, of course, Flash himself, dear Flash, has been like an oven-baked turkey in tinfoil in the middle of in the middle of an oven somewhere on Baron's Kingdom. Yes, as the flaming torture or whatever it was that ended last week's show. Basically, Flash fell down a hole at the end of it, and we're very worried about him. We're very worried about him.
I am. I've thought of nothing else. Well,
of course.
Month.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, what could possibly be more important in your life than
exactly
the flash in a hole like an oven baked turkey? The thing that interests me though is I've had a few thoughts. Well, I've had one thought, and it's actually quite a disturbing thought. And I don't know whether this may have crossed your mind or not. But I was doing a little bit. I was actually doing a little bit of research. I know. Believe it. People might not believe that we should do any research for this show.
I don't think anyone believes.
I was doing a little bit of research, and I discovered that quite by coincidence, more or less at time of recording, more or less, it's plus or minus a month or so.
Yeah.
The Flash Gordon movie from 1980 is now more distance back in time from now than Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe was when the Flash Gordon movie was made. How strange is that?
That's quite big, isn't it? That's quite a moment.
I was spectacularly surprised by that. And if you look at the dates, it was kind of like, you know, there was a 9 month. It was March 1940 and December 1980, the two release dates. And so there was that 9 month thing that made it not exactly 40 years, but it's 40 years and 9 months, and 40 years and 9 months brings us to more or less now, and so we can now say safely that the Flash Gordon movie, the Sam Jones Flash Gordon movie, is now actually nearer to Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe in time than us, and I still am freaked out by this.
You see, I was I think you tweeted about this, and I was initially, but then I actually thought about it. I thought, no, I think about how unreconstructed the late 70s, early 80s were. And when that movie came out, it was a different world. And I feel like I've lived 3 billion years since that time. So, in fact, I thought about it. And I thought, I'm okay with that, actually. I think
I'll actually get more disturbed when you hoppity skip to the end of next year and suddenly it's nearer in time to the original Flash Gordon serial, or indeed the comic strip being published or something like that. But I'll give you that. My problem is, to a certain extent, the large amount of those kinds of films from the 80s and 90s feel like new movies to me, and I can't help that. Even though lots of people will say I wasn't even born yet, I still find myself thinking, these modern films like Silence of the Lambs being over 30 years old just freaks me out.
But no, that feels like quite an old film to me now. I'm going to be honest.
No, but that's the thing, because I mean, I still can't believe it's 30 years old, though. That's the thing. I mean, I was quite surprised when it was 25 years old, and then suddenly, you know, these years just keep flying by, young man, flying by.
Are you okay, Grandpa?
Well, I have. I am. It is the midst. We have leapt into. I mean, I'm wearing my cardigan today. It's true. I'm wearing my woolly Zarkov cardigan today, and obviously you are in the dark depths of Sweden, so you must be even colder. It must be freezy.
No. I love this. Is the thing. It has this reputation for being cold, and whenever it's on any series, it's always about in the snow. But the reality is, it's blue, full sunshine today, and it's about 15, 16 degrees.
I went to Norway once for the weekend, you know, and Oslo for the weekend. And I was thinking, even though it was a bank holiday weekend in August in Britain, I was saying, no, jumpers, fill the suitcase with jumpers, big gloves, big mittens. It was absolutely boiling.
Yeah, exactly. I've been to Helsinki before, and it was like it was Barcelona, and I had all the wrong clothes. So there you go. I think enough of this country-based weather talk.
Indeed.
I think it's time we pressed play.
Let's play.
We are on classic Hollywood movies. Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, 1940, complete serial, all 12 chapters is the title.
It is.
And we are at 2 hours dead, 44 seconds.
That's right.
Yes.
That's where we left it, boys and girls and everybody else. That's where we left it last time. Tinfoil Flash. So, are you ready?
Are you
ready
to press play after five? Okay. Five, four, three, two, 1, play.
Play. Oh, that's loud.
We like the Universal Presents font.
You know, I sometimes think about this. I see these names that people will probably go, ooh. And I just have this vision of Carol Hughes sitting in some old people's home somewhere going, I might be forgotten now, but I was once a hero to a generation.
I was sexy as well.
Aye.
And they pull the crocheted shawl over her shoulders and say, indeed. Yes, yes, dear.
Ooh, Barry Shipman, no relation, hopefully. Anyway.
Yeah. Good. So, where are we? Where's that palace?
That's Ming's old place, isn't it? You know?
Okay.
Here come the skiers again.
Yes.
Or Lenny, as I keep pronouncing as Lemmy, because I'm too motorheady, obviously. Oh, anyway, forward.
Chapter 7.
No chapter title.
Ming has his daughter, Princess Aura, removed from Baron's kingdom, which he is going to destroy with a fiery projectile.
Ooh, madam.
Flash, to defeat Ming's purpose, takes off with Dale and Renal in a ship equipped with Zarkov's untested thermal control, constructed to combat the effects of Ming's fiendish invention.
Mm.
Dale and Renal, operating the control from the ship, watch Flash in a fireproof uniform fighting his way into the blazing inferno as the first projectile falls. The thermal control resists the terrific temperature, but suddenly the intense heat melts the connection. The control fails, and...
Don't you think that opening crawl there explains all, but somehow feels like it's a technical manual just being read out?
I know, it's quite involved. I'm quite tired now. I need to sit down.
But it's kind of like, did all that stuff actually happen?
You know? I don't remember it.
No.
But he's done it.
Anyway, yes, there's lots of scribbling on the film, but I think we get... Oh, you see... Oh, no! Yes, the light goes out. The big bulb in the helmet goes out. And this is where we get the recap, and she's screaming, it's failed. Now, do you not feel that part of this makes you think, at the time, the Blitz was going on in London?
Oh, yeah.
Do you not feel that there's a kind of vibe of that going on here? You know, it's just a little bit.
There is, but this probably didn't get to the UK until a lot later, probably.
No, but I just feel that there
may
have been...
How's that feel? Yeah, from reels. Coming across. From, yeah, exactly, from film reels and stuff.
Although it does also look a little bit like a Thunderbirds episode to me.
Yeah.
A man in a silver suit sort of crawling through fire. Anyway, he's alive!
And that helmet thing in the spaceship looks like the hats they wear in Underworld, the Doctor Who story.
It might be. Well, it might actually be the hats they were wearing before. Anyway, Gordon's alive!
Well done.
Now this...
I'm glad you got that in.
These always make me think, I don't know if you watch the RNLI series, Saving Lives at Sea, we have on.
Never.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's a giant pencil!
The giant pencil is back, and he's got another one. And he's fighting him off, he's going back, and Dale's not happy.
Why is he? What's he doing now?
He's going to put more of the fire out with his second pencil.
Oh.
No, it's just that whenever they go, they do this quite grave stuff on the RNLI thing, you know.
Oh,
and of course, if the casualty had been in the water longer, he could have died. And I always say to Philippa, but he's fine. And 99% of the time, they're actually fine. But
yeah,
that's my catchphrase whenever that program's on is, oh, it could have been dreadful, but they were fine. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Moving on.
Thank you for that insight into your own life.
Well, I just need to cover the recap, because true heroes, they go back. That's the point. Flash is a true hero. He went back, or whichever stuntman is in that outfit went back.
Yes, he did. I quite like Dale's natty ankle boots.
Oh, she's chuffed, though. She's happy. Oh, big hug,
oh,
big
flash.
Hug. Have you noticed, though? Look at that. Not a word. Flash, not saying, not chatty. He's come back. Things are grave. Things are grave. Oh. Things are important. Now, anyway, we get a radio call to Zarkov on the big old radio.
Meanwhile, with Robin Hood and his merry men.
Ah, there we go. Zarkov answering Flash Gordon. That's an interesting radio message. I'm answering you. Yes, hello. Anyway, it works. That's the basic thing. They can put out all the fires now. So the Purple Death's been solved. The fire's been solved. But oh, interruption. Oh, no. Radio's been destroyed by an attack by a rocket ship.
I liked how Baron didn't have anywhere to go there, so he's just slightly flung himself back against the wall.
Now, I think from this point in the story, we get more Sonya. Ah. Sonya plays a bigger part.
Now, I would be pissed off if I was Baron, because Renal gets more of the action than Baron does.
He does,
but maybe that's because Renal was quite big in the comic strip. It's just we don't know of him because we think of Timothy Dalton as well, don't we?
Well, he's sort of replacement Baron, of course, so maybe they're trying not to draw attention to him. But anyway, Sonya and Torch are now under attack in their rocket ship.
Sonya, the Mersey, Liverpool.
I don't believe so.
Not that Sonya.
No. Sonyas don't die in Liverpool.
Sophisticated.
But we're getting some nice Sonya plot action now, and they're gonna do a bit of we're gonna get a bit of deviousness here, because there's an attack going on in Bad Hats. See, Sonya's doing some proper worried acting here. Proper
she
worried.
Screamed. I don't think she should have screamed then. She's far too tough to scream.
Well, I feel the screams like of Sonya become quite useful in terms of plot.
I feel like you know more than I do.
Well, no, I just feel that whenever a writer needs... Yeah, I don't know.
You feel like you got bored of your own idea then?
No, it's just that if you just sort of feel that, you know, like in the Doctor Who's, it's kind of like if the assistant screams, it means that they've bounced the plot along a bit, you know. But look at that, she's doing some proper worried acting there.
Yes.
Which I'm quite impressed
with. They spent some time on her hair as well.
Hmm. I'm also slightly alarmed by the easily confused pilots, of course. This is Captain Torch speaking
from Arborea. He's worked hard to get that uniform around his stomach.
Well, they've basically got a cupboard of leftover ones, and whoever turns up on the day at the gates of Universal gets to wear them.
Yeah, exactly.
Have own uniform. Anyway, Ming's disappointed that he's...
I like the way he's clutching his hands. You know, they're quite... It's quite tense and sort of... It's Magnus Greeley, the way he's holding his hands.
He's incredibly miffed. And he's realised that somebody has given away the secret. And he's kind of thinking, who could it be of the two of us? Who could it be who's been a traitor? So old Khan's looking a bit shifty now. But
I love his shifty acting with his eyes.
But of course...
Yes, it was me.
Look at that. Look at that.
That was like the Aru titles from Doctor Who and the Daleks.
The creamy mix. It's like a cup of coffee.
Creamy mix. Is that a real extreme close-up on one of the director's coffees?
What are we going to do? What are we going to do to change this picture? Quick, I know!
Coffee.
I know!
Yes, learn the plans, report back to Ming. It's a good plan.
Oh, there you go. The lives of all of you are staked upon this venture. There you go.
Wow.
Yes. Again, this is Torch. The life of Torch seems to be staked on just about everything that happens. And yet he's still alive. Meanwhile, in Arborea.
Oh, Ruritania, I prefer.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that big weapon. And look where it's positioned.
I don't know what you mean.
It's an interesting choice of framing.
There's a lot of man tights.
Yes. I think this is interesting, actually, because this sequence here... You've got. I feel that this is Chekhov's gun writ large.
Okay.
Because Zarkov is explaining how it works and how, but it gives off this gas, so you can't be in the same room as it, and you've got to be very careful and blah. And you think that's a cliffhanger going to happen, isn't it? It just feels like there's a cliffhanger coming.
Mm-hmm. So which one's Renal and which one's Baron?
Oh, I've lost track. We've lost track.
Have we? They've employed two actors who could almost be twins.
It doesn't help. It does not help. I'm thinking it's Baron, but I'm probably wrong. Oh, still in comes Dale. Now look at that, Dale.
I love how all their feathers are keep hitting each other. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, but Dale has actually been, you know, that thing where we said she had a job and she's a radio operator. She's actually been monitoring the radio. She's actually used her job.
That has been played in. Well done, writing team.
Meanwhile, Torch and Sonya are lurking to try and break into the palace, having a bit of a lurk.
Wouldn't you? You would lurk. She's off.
Yep. So they're sneaking in. She's going to distract a guard.
Baron, at once.
I'm afraid the hats for Baron's guards are a bit worrying. I feel they were left over from the Hawkmen, and the wings are never quite in line.
No, they're a bit like they've been stuck on with Prit.
Oh, now Baron would hang her from the highest turret in the kingdom. Baron is basically into his capital punishment, apparently.
Was that Baron?
Well, yeah. Well, not it wasn't Baron.
Oh, he was saying Baron.
He was
would.
Saying that Prince Baron would.
Oh, I see. Mm. That's a bit much.
Mm. Anyway, they've managed to inveigle their way into...
Or inveigle, even.
Inveigle. Inveigle, invogle, evugle. One of those. I'm doing the Latin, mate. They're getting their way into the old palace, the old Arborians. Yeah. So there we go. Look at that. Torch has borrowed a bad hat. That's one bad hat, Torch.
Dodgy wing hat.
Yeah, it doesn't suit him, does it?
Really not. I think it's an...
You have good eyes, Roker. There we go.
Who's Roker?
Roker's the guy with the scientist, the good scientist. But the interesting thing is that he's
across
the... Oh,
wow, that was a good effect.
Yeah.
That was really good.
He zapped him. But look at that. What I'm getting is he told him he had good eyes. He was 10 feet away.
Wow. Yes.
He could recognise him at 10 feet. Point. Well done.
Oh,
well
look.
Done.
Babs and Carol with
Aura. Over to
Aura.
Your Highness wishes to see me.
Will not stand on ceremony. I demand my instant release and return to prison.
Oh, she's demanding from her father that she gets released.
She's just not Aura, is she? I'm sorry, I can't buy it.
Yeah, but they have actually, at least they've actually mentioned their relationship.
Yeah, which helps.
Oh, we're getting a bit of flashback now.
I mean, Aura in the comic strips isn't like this either, so it doesn't make any sense.
No, well, I feel it's probably more, tells you more about domestic life in America in 1940, really. But,
oh, gosh. Good but, commentary.
But no, it's you know, there's a whole lot of... this once before, there's allusions to them being defeated in the past. So this sort of mention that we won and yet you're back on the throne. Ooh, how did that happen?
Yes.
A little bit of that. You know, but anyway, they're setting a trap now.
I do feel that Buster Krabs had difficulty learning the script this week, because he's living it quite flatly.
He's doing a lot of leaning.
Yeah, I think he's having a bad week.
It's interesting, actually, that I feel that certainly Zarkov, his job now in the serial is to do very slow exposition.
Right.
He's actually there to explain what's happening in case... To be frank, a lot of the time you haven't seen any of this stuff happen, but it sort of explains...
One of those helmets on the right, that's the one from the Sci-Fi Museum, from Neil Cole's Sci-Fi Museum.
Hey.
That's it, with the bits on the top.
Hey.
That's exactly it. Neil Cole, Sci-Fi Museum in Allendale, Northumberland. It's that hat with those bits on them. Oh, wow. I didn't think I'd see one like that. Yes.
There we go.
Did you see the ones with the shell bit on the top?
I did indeed.
Hooray. Oh, I've seen that up close.
Well, I've polished that very helmet.
Pardon?
Oh, isn't that what you did? Did he let you touch it?
No, it was behind Perspex, I'll have you know. You know their destination. Your
speed ship will get you to the land of... Oh, there we go. Speed ship. Now, that's to explain how Torch gets there before.
It's a fast... A speed ship is fast, would you
believe?
It's
one that overtakes all the other ships. Anyway, at least Torch is back in his proper uniform again that was actually made for him, because that hat did not go well for him.
No.
I'm still not quite sure how Zarkov knows a lot of the stuff he knows, but there we go. And we're back with the Esmeralda hats now as well.
Why Esmeralda?
Oh, anyway, now Torch has bought his big drum. Now this is...
Oh, yes, it is
a
big
bomber.
Drum.
Oh, a mine. Sorry, this is a mine.
Okay, I
thought
it was
a bit like their portable toilet that they're having. They're cleaning it out.
I'm not sure about Sonia's knees.
Now,
the fact that she's not perfectly svelte. She's like she's a good. Mm. She's not chunky, but she's kind of like a more ordinary size.
They have to go to Dome Rock apparently, which is apparently the place where this weapon has to be fired from. Which is kind of
that's someone with dark hair. That's not Sonia.
No, this is your stunt
this
double.
This is a stunt woman.
Yes.
Looks nothing.
She's
like,
been taken. Oh, she's being taken by the Rock Men.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Look at that.
I like the way they suddenly appeared. Yeah. Slightly Clay People-esque music.
There are many Rock Men. You know, there's a lot of extras there.
Oh, and the lizards are back!
And the lizards are back at basically full speed. But we're getting high speed, proper lizarding. Hold on, have you gone?
No, I'm here. I'm just enthralled by the action.
Enthralled. Now, you see, these rock people are not really rock people. They're rock people wearing hats. They're wearing hats to make themselves look like rocks, to protect themselves from the big lizards.
Oh, I see.
But look, listen. Yep.
Do they talk backwards?
Yeah, it's the little man from another place. It's David Lynch. We've moved to the Red Room.
That's strange.
Yes, it's
What's
back
that
to...
on the wall? Is that an elephant's tusk?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's basically the Clay People's Kingdom redressed, quite frankly.
I can't believe you just said that.
They do have a look of them.
Yeah, they do. It's a desolate place.
Of course, it's the land of the dead.
That's quite what the chapter's called, is it?
Yes. Yeah. That's what the episode's called, and that's basically where they are.
That would help, yes.
So anyway, Torch and his blokes are digging a... Oh! This Ming's latest development is basically a countdown clock.
Oh, he's got a black sun on him. He's the leader, is he?
I think he's the important one. I think he's, again, I feel he's going to play a part later. I think we need subtitles
for this backwardsness.
No, it's just unusual. It's to make them sound
different.
You over
there, I'll wait here. You get killed, I'm more important. I think that's what that was.
Basically. But they're not doing it. They've not created a language like Klingon for Flash Gordon. It's just, let's play it backwards. I suspect if we ran this film backwards, we could probably tell what they were saying. But they're quite old, you know. They're quite old.
I do like this location footage, though. Isn't it lovely? It's really good.
I think this is the place where pretty much every... You know, it's probably there's a few Star Treks and God knows what was shot here. You know, it's...
But it's a good landscape. And I do like these rock people. They're quite cool.
And see, look how they blend into the rocks by lying down on them. Which, again, is one of those...
It does work, actually.
Yeah.
You sort of don't look at them. It's weird. It's clever.
There is a hint of Klansman about the pointy tops, but we'll not dwell. Anyway, they've taken Torch and his men. Because there's a big bang coming, I think you're going to find.
Oh. This way.
So there we go. Oh, that's bad landing. They're all squished against the front of the rocket ship now.
And it was a bad freeze frame as well. What's Sarkov saying?
Oh, he's basically saying they need to find somewhere they can be safe from the poisonous gas that his weapon gives off, as it were. Basically, like I say, Sarkov now seems to be there to join the dots of the plot, just in case they haven't filmed it.
Yeah, I see.
Mind you, they are looking ravishing.
Oh, sweeping shot. Well, let's get going.
Ming may attack us before we accomplish. She likes wafting her cloak, doesn't she?
Flash's tights are a bit saggy. I don't like them.
It's been a tough
week.
I'm
surprised he didn't demand tighter ones.
So there we go, the little thing going up the tube. Which actually makes me think of the one in Countdown in Blake 7, strangely, but there we go. I feel that Terry Nation got a lot of his inspiration from this. What?
That's a shite episode of Blake 7.
It is. It is indeed. But I feel that Terry Nation got a lot of his inspiration. Now, big fight. Big old fight.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel that the big fight is going to...
They all have the decency not to fight Dale.
Yeah. Big bang! Well, not that big a bang, but there we go. The Fiery Abyss! See the Fiery Abyss, Chapter 8 of Frost Conquers the Universe at the State of next week!
Week!
So there we go.
Right, pause, yes. Gosh. Well, that was all go, wasn't it?
It took us from the fire planes of Arboria to the, I don't know, the land of the dead with explosion planes, really.
So explosion planes.
Yeah, so we didn't go very far in terms necessarily of the look of it, but actually in terms of the story arc, that was quite a leap from one to the other. You know, we've also we've discovered that Khan is now in peril because we think he might be a spy and might be get discovered.
Yeah, he needs to be better at not looking shifty. He basically said, "Yeah, it was me," with those eyes. But the cinematography was...
looks left, looks right, looks left, looks right.
Yes, exactly. Maybe it's because he hasn't seen any war films yet. That's why. I think he would know better if he'd seen war films. Nah, well. But I really do applaud the cinematography of The Land of the Dead. That was lovely, and they included that sweeping shot.
In proper location.
Loved
as well.
It.
Do you feel that might have been filmed first? So it's kind of when they were still had loads of time.
Of course. Mm. Probably when they're having a really boozy recce.
The other thing I checked from the notes in the book is it's called a Nullitrion gun.
Is it?
That big weapon that Zarkov wants to put up, which apparently is to help with all the fire. It's apparently to knock out all of Emperor Ming's power stations. Apparently that's what its purpose is, according to the notes in the book.
Well, I'm very pleased you furnished me with that information. Yes. I feel replete with knowledge now.
Yes. A Nullitrion. I do feel that Terry Nation was bought up on these serials. I really do.
Oh, definitely. Definitely the escape to danger aspect of them, particularly. Yes, good. Well,
there was another thing that we failed to notice as it went through, but
I didn't fail at all. I would like to.
I failed to notice, or at least mention or comment upon as it went through, was the Clay People music was back.
I didn't hear. I heard a slight Clay People-esque tune for the Rock People, but it wasn't the same.
Well, according to the book,
no, it's wrong. I listened. The Rock People music was slightly different. So there.
It's a remix, mate.
I won't have it. I won't. I remain unconvinced about this matter.
Fair enough. Well, by the time we get back to the fiery abyss, maybe we'll have sorted that out.
I doubt it. Okay. I have been Andy.
And I have been Martin.
And you have been. Yes. Until next time.
Ba, 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 ba. Ba.
Bye-bye!
Join us next time for another exciting episode of Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes.
Getting hold of your mint balls.
My pardon? Oh, yes. They don't know where I am. They don't know where I am. I think they should have just known to send them to this apartment in Stockholm, but so unfortunately...
So there's a shed full of mint balls waiting for you when you get back.
Well, I can only hope.